Shalom. Welcome to this Feast of Unleavened Bread today. We're keeping Pesach with all 7 days. And the message today is That Other Feast by Dan White. Study number 215, available on the giveshare.org website. Study number 215. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they go through in this article about the history of their Radio Church of God change. We're going to skip past most of that. But it does say that most feast keepers do not know that the Radio Church of God for decades observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the whole 7 days. Even though most feast keepers observe Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, for a whole week, they assume that somewhere in the Scripture there is justification for observing unleavened bread only for the high days. And this has been done as a tradition now for many, many years, for 30 years, just observing the high days. And in this message, we're not going to bring out so much on the meanings of the Hebrew words, such as moed, hag, and chag, or kag. But there is a significance there, telling us that we are at one of the three traveling feast days. And unleavened bread is that. In fact, since I'm liable to forget, why not go there right now in the book of Exodus, in the Torah, the book of Exodus? It's either chapter 23 or 22 about those three feast days. It's chapter 23, verse 13. And this is the law during the giving of the Ten Commandments at the first fruits, or commonly called Pentecost. Yah, the Son, gave commandments to Moses, who gave them to the children of Israel. And since we are grafted in to his good olive tree, we too are a part of them. And the word does say throughout that we are to keep line upon line, here a little, there a little. It says in Matthew 4:4, Deuteronomy 8, Luke 4, that man is not to live by bread alone, whether it be leavened bread or unleavened bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. So we're to live, walk, Hebrew word halakha, walk by every word. And so it says here in the book of Exodus, and what's according to the chapter 21 where it starts, now these are the judgments. Judgments means privileges. They used the wrong word here, I believe. Judgments means some sort of a vindicative judgment that's dealt out for punishment. No, these are not dealt out for punishment. One of the judgments talks about stealing something from another man, and that the article must be returned and then remuneration made. So that's not a punishment there so much. But here, this is a judgment in Exodus 23. You could call it a statute if the word judgment or privilege doesn't seem to make any sense to you. And we just talked about the Sabbath day in here, the land Sabbath. And it also says, in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. Make no mention of the name of Elohim, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Also Joshua 23:7 and Deuteronomy 23:7 and Deuteronomy 18:20. Verse 14, the next verse. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the name of, in the time appointed of the month, the time appointed of the month Aviv. For in it thou camest out from Mitzrayim, and none shall appear before me empty. In other words, we are to bring the second tithe. No, we're to bring a special offering at this time. We're here because of the second tithe, the 10%, but we bring a special offering at this feast. So whether we offer up something very, very special, or $50 or $500 to the poor believers, or to an effort to publish the word, scriptures, wherever that might go to a really good cause in the believers' kingdom, Verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, so to speak, the end of the season anyway, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year, all the males, and in Deuteronomy 16 it says the wife and the family should be included too, or at least it says the family, and obviously that would include the wife. I've heard women try to get out of that. Deuteronomy 16:13 and Deuteronomy 12:15. Three times in the year all the males shall appear before Yahweh, sovereign. So there it is. But the decision by the Radio Church of God was made to only keep two high days. Later on they decided not to keep all seven of unleavened bread. It was spurred by the fact that observing all the feasts gave people problems with their jobs. They lost their jobs, and I could testify to that because of the Sabbath. It is much easier to get off from work for just one feast period, for just the late summer feast, the tabernacles, than it is to get off for both the early summer and the late summer feasts. If you only observe the late summer feast of tabernacles, you can fit in fairly well with society by simply taking your annual vacation then with your company. If you observe both the early summer feast and late summer feast, that's unleavened bread and Sukkot, and also, of course, the feast of first fruits, or Shavuot, which is only one day, but if you observe all three feasts, plus preparation and travel time, and all the preparation time the ministers have to go to prepare the messages, and to prepare the feast sites, to set up very fine appointments for us to stay in, all those arrangements must be made. Well, this makes it somewhat more difficult to fit in, although many corporate workers now are allowed more vacation time, and it wouldn't be quite the problem. And so he makes a thing about how they changed. The whole change rests on their church authority being the government of God on earth. They use the term God there. And so that they would say, well, I'm going to the feast. Well, there was only one feast that they went to, and that was the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. They didn't call it Sukkot. But the scripture taught us there in Exodus 23 that we have the Feast of First Fruits and Sukkot and Shavuot and Sukkot. And actually there's seven feasts, but there's three that we must travel. These are pilgrimage feasts, time that we move our feet like going around in a circle. There's no such distinction in the original instructions there in Exodus 23, Leviticus 23, Numbers 28, or Ezekiel 45 to only keep the high days. There is no example in Scripture where they only kept the high days. There are several examples of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in the Scriptures. The first one is at the Feast of the Seventh Month. 1 Kings 8, 2 Chronicles 7, and Nehemiah 8, the inspiring feast of the seventh month after the return from captivity. In the New Testament, both feast periods of Passover and Tabernacles are mentioned in the book of John, associated with the life of the Messiah. The scripture definitely emphasizes the early summer feasts, unleavened bread, just as much as it does the late summer feasts. Examples are found in Luke 2, in Ezra 6, in 2 Chronicles 30 and 35. So here we are now in Luke 2, verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of, and it says Lord here, we'll change that pagan word, according to the law of Yahweh, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the unmerited favor of Yahweh was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the then child Messiah, now we don't put him in the crib every year at Christmas, but it says the child Messiah tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and they found him not. They returned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. Verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto them, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father, Joseph, and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Messiah said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And he's talking about our heavenly father. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Messiah, Yahusha, increased in wisdom and in stature. He physically grew up. And in favor with Yahweh and man. That was Luke chapter 2. Then, if I'm skillful enough, I'll try to turn to Joshua chapter 6 and find the exact spot here where another Passover is kept. Actually, one of the first Passovers were kept in the book of Genesis. But anyway, this is in chapter 6 of Joshua, and the wind here, we're sitting by the McKenzie River during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the wind is blowing my pages all over the place, and we're turning to this portion here. Actually, we should go to chapter 5, verse 9, and Yahweh said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So the 14th day of the month at even, that's the first month, not the Roman first month, but the scriptural first month, which falls in March or April, to use the Roman names there. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. So that was not in chapter 5, but that was found, that was found in chapter 5, somewhere I read chapter 6 here, but it was 5 verse 10 of Joshua. So I'll change that there. In the study on the internet site I gave you, a gift share, you're probably going to see Joshua 6. I don't see anywhere in there offhand anyway, I don't see it, about the Feast of Passover. I don't think it's there. So here is the big one. In 2 Chronicles 30. So let's all turn, unless you're driving down the highway in the LA traffic during rush hour. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, the extraordinary Passover of Josiah. So let's start around verse 18. Before that there? Verse 15. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day, so they killed the lamb, the perfect lamb, unblemished, on the 14th day of the second month. So this is, they're keeping it in the second month due to being defiled, having touched a dead body. The priests had not been ready yet. So this is the only feast that could be postponed a month because Scripture commands it. The other feast can't be delayed even by a day. There's no rule in here. Yahweh went to great extent to delineate and specify and itemize everything that was in the instructions of the tabernacle, even to the little decoration on the top of a doorpost or something. And he didn't say word one about any laws of postponement of feasts. But this is a law of postponement here, though, however. He does say about this law of postponement here, that we can keep the Passover in the second month if we've been defiled, having touched a dead body in the first month. So they killed the Passover in the 14th day. And by the way, if we do keep the Passover in the second month, due to having touched a dead body, we still need to unleaven our homes in the first month. We still need to follow all the laws as they are. So we can't just delay these laws. But you know, we do as much as we can, but we can't keep it all in spirit unless we're unless we're cleansed by the blood of Yahushua the Messiah, and that we have not touched a dead body, because that's in the scripture. Either it's in scripture or it's not. Either it's right or wrong. You know, the scripture tells us that. And people want to walk in gray areas or have exceptions to all the rules. Like, you could probably find an exception to what we just said here. But then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and Levites were ashamed and set apart themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of Yahweh. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moshe, the man of Yahweh. The priest sprinkled, or Moshe is Moses, sprinkled the blood which they received at the hand of the Levites. There were many in the congregation that were not set apart, or that uses the word sanctified here. We don't use that term. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passover for everyone that was not clean, to set them apart unto Yahweh. Or another word for set apart is make pure. But anyway, a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they did eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, Yahweh, pardon everyone, because they ate unworthily. I added that, they ate unworthily. That prepared his... Oh, wait a minute. Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, Yahweh, pardon everyone that prepared his heart to seek Yahweh, the mighty sovereign of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the set-apart place, or Hebrew word Mikodesh. And Yahweh hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and priests praised Yahweh day by day. No, it was just the two high days, wasn't it? They went home and played Monopoly and watched television. No, the priests praised Yahweh day by day, singing with loud instruments unto Yahweh. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of Yahweh. They ate throughout the feast 7 days. What did they eat? They ate unleavened bread. And they probably had some other things, but none of it was leavened. No yeast. We got to watch those products there of yeast. Go through the ingredients label, even on everything in the house. When it comes to the dog food, even we use a product that doesn't have leavening in it. When it comes to toothpaste, well, some people might draw the line there and say, "Well, I've got to have that," so I'm not going to judge them for that. In fact, I won't judge them for anything because I'm not the judge. Offering peace offerings and making confession to Yahweh for their father. So where do we see this? At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, do we ever hear people making confession of their iniquities, of their lawlessness, of their sins? Sometimes we'll have one person, the leader possibly, or somebody making confession. But here it says they made confession. That's also found in James 5:16 and the Brit Kadashah and Ezekiel 45:21. The whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, so they kept other 7 days with gladness. So this was a 14-day feast. They just decided to go ahead. Hezekiah, king of Yehuda, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. The princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests set apart themselves, and all the congregation, Yehuda, for the priests, the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel. That would be most of you that say that you're not any way connected with the Jews. So if that were really true, you'd be a stranger. Then you need to be grafted in to Messiah, the good olive tree, Romans 11. They came out of the land of Israel that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. No, they sat around with long faces. They said, when is this thing over so I can get back to my secular life? Get back to paying bills and having the boss yell at me. Well, oh, there goes a raft or something, a boat down our river here. It's quite rapid, and he's going over some of these rapids. Wonderful. In fact, they're fishing. That's something I wouldn't do on a... Today is actually a Sabbath day for us. Ignorance is bliss, they say. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. See also Nehemiah 8:17 and 2 Chronicles 7. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his separated dwelling place, even unto heaven. That was sure a lot of bondage there, wasn't it? No, they were rejoicing. No, they were under the law. They were sitting around, fellowshipping, falling asleep during the service. They were eating all kinds of fruits, bananas, pomegranate, if they were in season, any seasonal fruit and vegetable. They were getting healthy, but that was under the law. They were under such bondage, the Christian would say. But no, obedience pays. And, you know, you'll live a longer life, especially when you have a contentment and happy family. Chapter 31 continues with the new moons and the set feasts, according to the law of Yahweh, that they might be encouraged in the law of Yahweh. It goes into first fruits there. And then tabernacles, the seventh month, briefly. No, wait a minute. Well, anyway, it says in the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps of the tabernacle and finished them. Oh, okay, it finished them in the seventh month. So, no, that wouldn't be anything there about the Feast of Tabernacles that I could catch. Then let's turn to another Passover account here. And the last one. We've been going approximately 20 minutes. The Passover of Josiah in chapter 35, 2 Chronicles 35. And so far, we didn't get through Ezra chapter 6. So we may or may not get to that one here. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto Yahweh in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests on their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of Yahweh. He said unto the Levites that taught Israel, which were separated, put the separate ark in the house where Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build, and it shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now Yahweh your sovereign and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son, and stand in the set-apart Mikdash place, according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the divisions of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover, and set apart yourselves, and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. And Josiah gave to the people, King Josiah gave to the people flocks, lambs, kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000. And 30,000 bullocks, these were the king's substance. And we could compare this with the number of offerings that were in chapter 30, but there's not sufficient time, and the scope of this is to talk about that it's a seven-day feast. It's not a two-day feast, as is the tradition of most churches today, in synagogues, congregations, to only do, or some of them don't keep it at all. But at least if they're keeping 2 days, then you might ask me, well, is it sin then to not keep all seven? I don't think that whether or not I can make a judgment about that, but I'd say that, you know, where's your commitment? Where's your commitment if you're only keeping 2 days? Well, maybe you just can't do it. Maybe you possibly, maybe you're tied up in the hospital with your leg up in a sling. Now, do I expect you to come down here? Yes? No. No, I don't. And I don't have anything to say about it, do I? So here we are in chapter 35. And let's go down to verse 13 there. And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance, but the other separate offerings they boiled or sod in pots and in cauldrons and in pans and divided them speedily among all the people. Also see Exodus 12. And afterward they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night. So the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. Now it may or may not have been the right thing for them to do, but... And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph, and Heman, and Yeduthun, the king's seer, and the porters waited at every gate, that they might not depart from their service, for the brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of Yahweh were prepared the same day, to keep the Passover, and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of Yahweh according to the commandment of King Josiah, and the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. Or you could leave out that word "and." They kept the Passover at that time, the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like so that in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Jehuda and Israel that were present and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of reign of Josiah was this Passover kept, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And sometimes I write FUB, abbreviation for Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Pesach. The Hebrew word Pesach, or Pascha in Greek, which kind of starts throwing you off there a little bit. You get into the Greek, and their mentality is could be mixed up from a worldly point of view at times. So the Hebrew was a far superior language in that respect, even though Greek or English can define things a little bit more to our leavened minds. And all these examples show that unleavened bread being observed for the whole week, there's not an example, there's never an example in all of the scripture of somebody's keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread for only the first and the last days. The change was by Mr. Herbert Armstrong, based more on church authority than on Yahweh's authority. And he did make a number of administrative decisions contrary to the scriptures, such as allowing people to divorce and remarry for any reason, and to change Shavuot from the second day of the week to the first day of the week. Some people using that as the example, thinking that it condoned Sunday keeping, that it made Sunday keeping holy, if they'd use that word. The scripture is Yahweh's word. In the beginning was the Word was Yahweh, the Word was with Yahweh. And the Word is eternal, it is a standard. And it's Yahweh speaking to us. Yahweh speaking to you. You do not have to go through a pastor general to know what it says, or to a pope. Whatever the pastor general or pope says, you still go by the scripture. Nothing takes away from it. Nothing adds to it. There is nothing in the scripture to indicate that the Feast of Tabernacles should be kept for the for the whole week, while unleavened bread is kept only for the high days. No, it says the Feast of Tabernacles and unleavened bread are to be kept for all 8 days. Therefore, it's necessary to observe all the days of Tabernacles and unleavened bread. Unleavened bread should be observed for all the days, too. And it is. And we keep it that way. Well, that's not all. We could go on. Revelation 18, 9-19, in the book of the Revelation, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. This is future, standing afar off from the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, or fill in your favorite American city, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys her merchandise any more. Revelation 18, and there's much more there. In general, Satan's approach is to make life easier for people, so he'll slack off. Satan will make it easier for you if you will serve him, he promises, a false promise. Matthew 4, again, HaSatan takes him up into a, takes Messiah to an exceeding high mountain. Oh yes, beautiful high places, and shows him the kingdoms of the world and the esteem of them, and he says to them, all these things I will give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. He uses that word worship there. The end time world is just about here. Just about everybody is in agreement on that speculation there. And it will be sad to see Babylon fall, because they had such an easy life under her influence. HaSatan entices people by making it easy for them to go along with his society. Just relax. Go along. Stand up. No. Don't fight the tide. Don't stand up. Just keep sitting there. That's Satan's consistent method for tearing down character. Just mellow out. Laid back. Just get laid back. Just sit out in the back porch and smoke grass. It's all right. Messianics can do it too. No, we don't get into pharmakia here. No drugs in our house. Some patients, they say, well, I've got to take it. That may be. Satan's consistent method is tearing down our character. Yahweh's method of building character is to purposely put obstacles, challenges, and tests in front of you as you overcome these tests. Now, by a test, we don't mean the normal routine things that happen in life, like things deteriorating, the paint in your house, or the car's fender falls off, and all that stuff. Everyone has those kind of things. Those are not spiritual tests. But keeping the feast is a spiritual test, because your boss or somebody, your spouse may disagree with that. And maybe even the way you do it. But anyway, mainly people lose employment by keeping these feast days or the Sabbath day. Even though they're closed on the Sabbath, I got fired from a job because I kept the Sabbath. And they weren't even open on the Sabbath. They belonged to Christian churches. And they thought I was there to... I didn't say a word. I didn't say word one. But it bothered him so much that they get rid of him. He doesn't go along with the Christian churches. Well, a lot of people who are even pagan would have a problem with that. I've had pagan employers. Oh no, I've had pagan employers who would actually encourage my Sabbath keeping. So it's the religious people that we have more of a problem with than we do the pagans. In fact, this one pagan employer made sure that I was rewarded, and he kept increasing my wages. But anyway, you don't need to know that. So Yahweh puts us in a society where we don't fit. His feasts don't fit this society. The Sabbath doesn't fit. It's not supposed to. Even the most obedient people in the Scripture were continually given new challenges to obey. Tests and opportunities to grow. Eov, or Job and Abraham, were loved by Yahweh because they were so obedient. Yet because he loved them, he gave them opportunities to become more obedient. Have you ever had a spiritual temptation and you overcame it? Well, the Father sees that, and our Messiah. The New Testament apostles never got a chance to relax and take it easy and fit in with the society around them. They did have many opportunities to grow in the Spirit. Yahweh promises us that in His Word that there will be tribulation for us. Satan's constant method is to make us comfortable and to go along. Yahweh's constant method is to test us and have you learn to use His Spirit as a tool to get through those tests. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Yes, pick up your burden or torture stake. Messiah helps you carry it. He will help us carry it. We have to trust Yahweh to make it through this wilderness. And dropping the spring, the early summer feast, tainted this trust to some degree. To some degree, keeping the feast became a worldly vacation in the late summer. The worldwide Church of God took its vacation feast in the summer to be even more convenient. And they moved the Sabbath day back to the first day of the week. And then they called themselves Restoration, or they changed their name to something else. Christmas, for example, is easy. The very reason Christmas was instituted as a Christian holiday, because it was the easy thing to do. And the Christians did not want to give up their old ways, so the church made an administrative decision to make it easy for the members. They adopted Saturnalia Christmas, the Christ's Mass, so re-sacrificing what they believed to be Messiah, in contrary to Hebrews chapter 8. But anyway, the pagans were already keeping Saturnalia. If you want feasts that are easy, it's Christmas, Easter, and Halloween. But keeping all of Yahweh's feasts all the time is difficult. Yahweh never intended for His feasts to be easy, to be kept in HaSatan society, to be kept in this world, in Satan's society. And they never will be, necessarily. The more time goes on, the harder it is to accept it and use the Spirit of Yahweh to help you face this challenge. But with obedience, pray to Yahweh that He'll send His Ruach HaKadosh to give us more encouragement and inspiration and ideas and strength and trust and hope in Yahweh and in His Spirit, that He will help us to keep all the feasts in spirit and in letter, in truth, in sincerity. Paul says, "Let us therefore keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness," not the old leaven way, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. That was part 1. We went 38 minutes so far, or less. And we're probably have a few songs in here. And we're going to be moving on to part 2 of this, about that other feast on YahvehYahweh.name.